So this is the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we just chanted together. Usually we just chant one verse at a time, but there's also this system called shloka part of chanting verses one after another. Fits together how one verse flows into another. What is the flow of the text? To see why it's not just arbitrary that one verse follows after another, but there's a flow of ideas. This chapter opens with Arjuna asking Krishna some questions. And these questions are based on the statements of Krishna at the end of the previous chapter. If you see the last verses at the end of the 7th chapter, you want to see? At the end of the 7th chapter, Krishna says, Jara Mara Okshayama Vashutra Yukhanti Ye, Te Brahmata Vidu Kritsdama Dhyana Karma Chakranam. Yes. So Krishna gives a list of things that perfect persons or liberated persons know. They know what is Brahma, what is Adhyatma, what is Karma, what is Adhibhuta, what is Adhidaiva, what is Adhiyajna. And how Krishna can be known the time of death by the Now this whole discussion is from this chapter 7, this is continuing on from chapter 6, which is the yoga system, which follows on from previous chapters in which Krishna speaks about controlling the mind and the senses, which follows on from the discussion, what is the problem, follows on from the discussion, what is the actual problem. The problem is lust. So Arjuna is asking how to control lust, how to overcome it. So Krishna said that knowing oneself to be transcendental to the mind, body, and senses, one should be knowledge, conquer this insatiable enemy of lust. Knowing oneself to be transcendental, the body, mind, and senses, one should with intelligence conquer this insatiable enemy of lust. So then Krishna goes on to describe the yoga system, which is meant to control senses. And he states that the best of all of these is the devotee. What's that verse? And not us. The same portion.
The last verse of the 6th
chapter. And not us. And then Krishna begins. The end of the 6th chapter states that the best of the world is the devotion. And in the 7th chapter, Krishna describes more topics of devotional service and how to understand him, how to understand Krishna. And now Krishna at the end of this chapter describes how one can become perfect in yoga by knowing him. And he introduces several technical terms. What is Brahma, what is Adhyatma, what is Adhiyajna, what is... So Arjuna starts the eighth chapter begins with Arjuna asking what is the meaning of all these terms, which most of them Krishna just answers very briefly. But then the last question of Arjuna, he spends the rest of the chapter discussing. The last question of Arjuna is, here in this chapter, the last question of Arjuna is, how can those who are self-controlled know you at the time of death? Nyata Atmanihi means those who are in control of themselves. Prabhupada translated it as Prenama, devotee. That's again connected with the whole idea of the yoga system controlling the mind and senses. So this most important point to Krishna at the time of death, Krishna discusses this in some detail. What is the benefit of remembering Krishna at the time of death? He said that you have to prepare yourself now to remember me at the time of death. And he brings the discussion back to the relevant point of why they're discussing this topic at all. They discuss it because Arjuna didn't want to fight. Krishna says, Tasmat Salveshu Kaleshu Mamana Smara Yudhyacha. He said, therefore, always think of me. Fight also. Don't think that we're just going to sit on this chariot and discuss philosophy or water. We should fight that now. My Apitama Lord is here. By dedicating your mind and intelligence.
Good.
And then, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. Abhyasa Yoga. This means by the practice of yoga. Yoga means practice. Sadhana, practice. We should all practice it in our lives. Otherwise, we won't be able to remember Krishna at the time, as Krishna describes here. Whatever we think of at the time of death, that we get the next time. So, Krishna does not salvation. Therefore, all times you have thinking. Always think of me, because you don't know when you're going to die. Especially when you're fighting, there's a better chance of dying in the moment. So Krishna is assuring Arjuna that you find that you won't be bereft of the practice of yoga by doing so. Because in this circumstance, yoga for you means to fight and tell you to do so. So, he goes on to describe himself, the Supreme Personality. And describes how the yogis, they leave the body thinking of him. But then again he comes to the point, he said that if you're attracted to this yoga system, don't bother. Just think of me all the time, Krishna says. For such a devotee, I am easily obtained. There's no need for all the dealing with yoga practice. Just think of me. He goes on to describe that there are many great persons who have conquered over birth and death and are free from this miserable material existence.
Yep.
Taking shelter of him, taking shelter of Krishna. Then he goes on to describe the nature of the project manifestation, how it is again manifest, yet again manifest and destroyed. Hinting to Arjuna, or indicating to Arjuna that he's been born and died many times. So he should not be so much worried about death, either himself or others. That we have to die, that is for sure. How we die, the quality of our thoughts at the time of death, that will determine our next existence.
Sure.
If we can just fix up our mind on Krishna, then our material existence is finished. We'll fix up our thoughts on Krishna. Now we'll find that again and again throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is emphasizing that one should perform by teaching. How the non-devotional scholars, they can't understand this, even though Krishna repeatedly says, at the end of the seventh chapter, Maharashutra Yatantiye, there are those who are sheltered in my shelter. And in this chapter, Nanya Cheta Satatam, those who are always thinking of me. And again, we have here, Bhaktya Alabhya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is attainable by devotion that comes in this chapter. Then again, Krishna describes the path of the yogis, how they have to try to control their mind and senses and leave the body at a certain time. And then at the end of the chapter, Krishna again emphasizes the same point he made at the end of the sixth. He describes in more detail the same point, that whatever results can be obtained by studying the Vedas, by performing austerity, by giving charity, whatever pious results can be obtained from all these things, he simply might not push. So we should try to understand Krishna. It's not possible to understand Krishna. This is a contradictory statement. Nevertheless, Krishna tells us to try to understand. At the same time, we should understand that we can never fully understand Krishna. We should at least try to understand Krishna as he has presented himself in Bhagavad Gita, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, and the Supreme Object of God. Knowing Krishna thus is all auspicious. It brings the end of birth and death. It is the natural position. Krishna can be known through the process of bhakti yoga, which means by following the sadhana. This is yoga. It's regular practice of sadhana. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Sometimes we can also chant these verses from Bhagavad Gita. That's very purifying. Especially in the month of Kartik, this is one of the practices recommended to chant. return to verses from the book. Is there any question?
Thank you.
Then a woman from the Gita, how about this? Who called the Chisholm of the Bill of Sam Krishna, chapter 9, with the Mahavishnu, with the Mahavishnu, with the
Srila Prabhupada is in purport saying that the pure devotees are attracted only to Krishna and not to the form of Mahavishnu. Then we can see in Bhagavad Gita in 11:46 that Arjuna wants to see this form with four hands, and Bhishma also in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:9:24.
Yeah, so all the statements have to be understood in context. Just like we're seeing this down in the Rashtaka, in which the Satyavrata Muni is saying that I want to see your childhood pastimes.
What is Tietis?
Childhood pastimes, how those who worship Krishna on the path of all remembrance can be shown to such devotees that can be conquered by love, by pure love of the Vajrasas. So, from the perspective of the devotees who worship Krishna on the Radha Marg, on the path of spontaneous love, not the pink but their loving feelings are awakened, especially by the Vrindavan of Krishna. So, you see the gopis, they were looking for Krishna, and then Krishna's having a bush in the gopis found him, but Krishna discovered an extra 2 arms.
The Krishna?
So the gopis saw her and they said, oh, it's Narayana. Oh, no, no, Narayana. I know there are businesses to do. Do you know what Krishna is? They wanted to find Krishna. So it doesn't mean that devotees like Vishnu are not pure devotees. They certainly are very good pure devotees. But from the point of view, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, particularly interested to worship Krishna in the Nada. So it's one of those statements that we understood in context. So not to reject the form of the form. So thank you for enjoying hearing about the pastimes of Guru Maharaj. Any other questions?
She's asking, do we need to learn the children to follow Ekadashi from their young days?
Everyone between age 8 and 18 should follow Ekadashi. Because Ekadashi is the day when you can make enjoy it earlier. There's no harm. There's no fault. They don't do this.
We have a very low standard here for the deities. We don't do aratik or anything. And she is asking, and we are not offering bhoga to them or anything. It is very, because there here is only one Mataji and she is occasionally here. She is now in town.
You can do it one
day. It is not possible.
She asked if they had to put them sleep or because of that sickness.
She can't take care of them, but she would like very much to do that. Because the others don't have a desire to do that. What to do?
I come together with Mr. Gomez. I don't have to practice so much. I'm in trouble with this impression. Otherwise, it's taking so much trouble to maintain the family. I'm taking little trouble with this impression. Another question?
In 40. Yes.
Oh. radi, spominje se poznata priča o Šivananovo tijelo.
In the book of story of Rasikananda, there is a famous story about. Can you please? It's only mentioned three weeks.
Well, this story has been recounted somewhat differently in different places. Basically, the story is that Shalananda was very jealous of youth. So she gave this by Sridhar Chaitanya to live with himself. With the blessings of Sridhar Chaitanya, he was studying and the Jiva was from Vrindavan. Now, once we went to Sidhu, and while he was there, he saw, while he was doing some seva there, he used to sweep that room, exquisite amulet. So after some time, some very beautiful young girls came and said, I think you're holding one anklet. How do you turn that? So Shyamananda said, well, are you the owner? He said, no, my mistress, she is the owner. So he said, I'll only give it back to the person who actually owns it. And so that happened to be Radharani. It had come off during the dancing at night. She was dancing at night with Krishna, so she was concerned for us. So, Radharani had to personally come. When she took that anklet from Shyamananda, she placed it on his forehead, and that made a round impression. And that time he made a tila like this. So this caused a sensation in Vrindavan, because how can you change your tila? That means that the guru tells you to put on like this way, then if you put another tila, that means you rejected your guru. So Jiva Goswami chastised him for this amazing breach of etiquette. How could you do such a thing? But then Radharani revealed to Jiva Goswami that actually she had given the tila, so I'm more of a guru than you are, so you have to follow what I said. Then the news went all over Vrindavan, and they thought that Jiva Goswami, what's he doing? He's given you tila, he's reinitiated. Someone who's already someone else.
His guru was Nego.
I said to Jiva Goswami to take Shiksha from the happening in Diksha, that's unheard of. Yeah, I already gave him Diksha. So he said he went to Vrindavan in an angry mood. Thought of Vrindavan in those days means by walking 2,000. So by the end of 2,000 kilometers, his anger wasn't any less. But then again, Radharani revealed to him eventually that his sentence were unfortunate. I have given this mount. Chaitanya was very happy. And that became accepted as the distinct tilak of the Shyamananda Vaishnavas who are within the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sangha. Shyamananda. Sridhar Chaitanya himself, he was given that name because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in his path. Sridhar in his path. Another story. And his guru was Gauridas Pandit, who was a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometime the Gauridas Pandit left his ashram.
Lakune?
Sridhar Chaitanya in charge. Actually, his name was just Chaitanya. So, in the absence of Gauridas, Gaur Purnima time was approaching. Gauridas Pandit was worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's another great story how he came to worship. So, Vrindavan Chaitanya started to organize the festival by inviting so many people, arranging bhog, cooking, and everything. And Gauridas came just as he returned on the Gaur Purnima day, so there's a big festival organized. So, how can you arrange a festival without consulting me? How can you invite people to my ashram? So he managed to flow. Get out of this ashram, take your festival and have it on the bank of the Ganga, go wherever you are. They were having a festival on the bank of the Ganga along with they went on chanting and everything. So the deities of God and Tai were in Lord Das's ashram. They were so attracted to the extended kirtan that they left the ashram and went to join the kirtan. And Das used to worship Chaitanya and Nityananda just like that, his young sons. When he saw the deities running away, he chased after them with a stick. He chased them back. So he was chasing after them. He was quite old at this time. So he couldn't catch them, and he saw they entered the kirtan party of Chaitanya Das. It was when he went in and saw the kirtan, he entered in a very angry. He was angry already with his disciple, now he's becoming more angry. And now he's stealing my deity. Then he couldn't find his deity. What happened to them? Now they're hiding. Then he saw that they're hiding in his disciple's heart. So then he became very happy and embraced his disciple. They're in your heart. So then he called him Hridaya Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Oh, he wants
the deities to come back. He said, because I can't live without you, so you better come back. So since that time, at that temple, the deities, they'll only open the curtain for a short time and they'll close again because they're afraid the deities are going to run away. How those deities came in the first place, that's also a nice story. That one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda came to Gaurangasa's house and he was very happy. He fed them so many different items. So then they were getting ready to go and he said, no, don't go, stay. How can you go? Just stay here. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, you bring two pieces of neem wood. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by touching them, he made them into deities of himself and the family. So then he said, here, we'll stay here in the form of deities. So Gaurangasa said, no, I don't want deities, I want you. So then deities were there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda were there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, then we choose, which do you want, the deities or us? Gaurangasa, he was looking this way, he couldn't understand which is which, because they're just exactly the same. And he understood that these deities are actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You serve your deities nicely, and they reciprocate with you. They run them. If you don't feed them, then they run away. You have to eat them. They're just substantials. Okay, we'll finish then. Hare Krishna.